Do you hear it? Are you listening? It's like a whisper, a tugging on your soul. Something is drawing you away from the everyday's round and round routine. Round and round we go with our duties and our deadlines, our to-do lists and our doomsday scrolling. We get up, we get dressed, go to work, go to school. We run from one activity to the next, one crisis to the next, hardly keeping up with what's next. And still, we hear it, don't we? There's something calling us to get away. I wonder if you feel it. Part of all the changes in our liturgy today, the change of color, the change of tone and tune, all the chanting and repenting, it's all meant to give voice to that voice. That voice that won't go away. That voice that we're so adept at smothering, covering up with distractions, with our hurriedness, with all the boxes we love to check off one right after the next. And if there happens to be an unanticipated pause in our schedule, a waiting room before the next appointment, a free evening that we didn't see coming, I love those. Yes, an opportunity to tune into that voice with renewed attention. What do? We check our phones, right? We turn on a podcast, watch the news. We do anything to fill that void, to avoid the voice that calls us. Which is kind of sad when you think about it, because it's the voice we first heard at our baptism. This is my son. This is my daughter, my beloved. It's the voice of our Creator. It's the voice of love. It's the voice that ushered us into a new world that day, even more than that, into a new story. But it is a story that requires continued attentiveness to that voice. It makes me think of Jesus. Remember his baptism? When suddenly the heavens are opened and the Spirit of God falls upon him like a dove, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." What a moment! A moment of affirmation, confirming for Jesus his calling, his identity as the Son of God, the one anointed to rescue God's people from bondage. A voice calling Jesus to enter into a story, Israel's ancient story, that he might be that faithful Israelite for the sake of the world. And so, from that time forward, he listens closely to that voice. He could hear it. He's tuned in. So that immediately after his baptism, he receives from that voice the call of the wilderness. The call to get away from it all and listen. Now, you would think that if Jesus' baptism marks the start of his public ministry, then it must be time to get out there on the streets, right? Proclaim the message, muster your followers, and do the work you are called to do. But that's not what happens. That's not what the voice says. Instead, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He hears the call of the wilderness and obeys. He removes himself from the everyday's round and round routine. Round and round it goes with its duties and its deadlines, his to-do list and his doomsday scrolling or whatever the ancient equivalent was at that time. And he sets out to fast for 40 days and 40 nights out there in the wilderness. And afterwards, as you can imagine, the text says he is famished. completely, it would seem, at the end of himself. And so you might imagine that this would make him more vulnerable, more susceptible to succumb to deception. But you would be wrong, for it's quite the opposite. That's the power of the wilderness, or should I say, the power of the Spirit that is at work in the wilderness. You see, the wilderness gives Jesus this opportunity to search himself, to check himself, to confront the demons, so to speak. What is the source of my strength? What are my expectations when it comes to what I think the Father must or must not do for me? What are my motivations here? In other words, what does it mean to be the Son of God? Well, this is where evil jumps in and jumps on that phrase. If you are the Son of God, and it does it again, if you are the Son of God, ceasing to press in on the apparent discrepancy because between what Jesus knows about himself and what he's actually experiencing in the wilderness. I mean, think about it. Should the Son of God go hungry? What? Should the Son of God be put in harm's way? Should the Son of God be powerless? It seems that evil has him right where he wants him. It's just that to evil's surprise, the wilderness has given Jesus a deeper sense of his identity, of what it means to be the Son of God, what it means to carry Israel's story forward toward its fulfillment. So that even when the opposition gets dirty and quotes a verse of scripture to him, he can see right through that smokescreen. Because why? He is firmly rooted in the story, dependent upon God for his daily bread, refusing to treat God as a tool for his own well-being, and committed to serve him alone no matter the cost. You see, this is where Israel failed. But thanks be to God, this is where Jesus succeeds. And it was his willingness to listen to the call of the wilderness that kept him secure in that story. It's why this venture into the wilderness was not a one-time excursion for Jesus. It was a way of life. He heeded this call multiple times, stepping out of the busy fray and getting away to a deserted place to pray and to listen. My friends, Jesus knew that evil hates the wilderness. In fact, evil has much better success in the garden, where one may freely eat of its every tree. There's so much for the taking, so little to worry about in the garden that we don't even have to put our guards up. In the garden, we're actually much more vulnerable, much more susceptible to succumb to deception. But in the wilderness, we learn to be vigilant, attentive, and on guard. That's the power of the wilderness, or should I say, that's the power of the Spirit at work in the wilderness. It's ironic, isn't it? In the garden, we humans succumb to evil's deadly promises, and so we're thrown out, cast into the wilderness. But when we instead heed the call of the wilderness, that's when we find our way back into the garden. Which is why, my friends, evil hates Lent, particularly those who observe it. Because during this season of Lent, Christians like you and me, we endeavor to create our own little wilderness, don't we? It's why we adopt a few rigorous practices during this season to steer ourselves into that deserted place where we might be stripped bare, exposed to the elements of our own devices and desires, that we might hear a word whispered to us in that quiet place. Listen, we don't heed the call of the wilderness to rid ourselves from all the dreadful people and awful problems in our lives. We don't heed the call of the wilderness to go on holiday, you know, to unplug and reset all of our buttons. No, we heed the Spirit's call into the wilderness in order to confront ourselves, to confront our own demons, to see ourselves more clearly, to take a closer look at the things and the people we would rather not see, to face situations we would rather avoid, to answer questions we would rather ignore. And above all, we go to the wilderness to hear the voice of our baptism, the voice who reminds us of who and whose we are, so as to restory ourselves into the story of Jesus. For just as Jesus was called to live out the story of Israel, so we are called to live out the story of Jesus, to be his hands and feet, to turn the other cheek, to be a community who cares for the poor and the weak, always bearing witness to another world, the kingdom of God. And just as Jesus heeded the call of the wilderness to stay true to his calling, to stay true to his story, so we must do the same. Lent, my friends, is a time to join Jesus in the wilderness and listen. Because he has something to tell you, something about yourself, about your dependencies, your motivations, your quiet allegiances to lesser things. And he wants to set you free. He wants to restory you back into the only story that matters. Shh. It's the call of the wilderness. Do you hear it? Are you listening? And if so, how are you going to respond? Heavenly Father, thank you for this season of Lent where you call us to get away from all of the things that distract us, all the things that we use to cover up those deep questions inside of our souls, all the things that we use to ignore the obstacles that keep us from a deeper life with you. Lord, may we observe Lent well this season. May we go out into the wilderness and adopt new practices that open up space for the Spirit to work in new ways in our lives, transforming us more into the likeness of Jesus and restoring ourselves into the kingdom vision that he proclaimed. Come, Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen.